Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Two major stories to try to understand today. In a few minutes, we'll talk about California wildfires and why one of the world's biggest economies is resorting to mandatory power cuts for millions of residents. But first, the latest on Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the White House and National Security Council official, testifying today that he was concerned about that July 25th phone call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president. President Trump tweeted today, quote, "Was he on the same call that I was? Can't be possible." Well, Vindman says, quote, "I listened in on the call in the Situation Room with colleagues from the NSC and the Office of the Vice President. We are all aware of what was said," end quote. That is according to Vindman's opening statement. So you can join us. Do you have questions about this latest tick forward in the impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump? This is the first the House is hearing from someone who says he actually listened in on that call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And joining us now from Washington is Monica Alba, NBC News political reporter who covers President Trump and the 2020 campaigns. Monica, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
So first of all, tell us more about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. Who is he and why is his testimony today so significant?
Absolutely. And it's really a couple of reasons. I think the first is that he's actually a current White House official. And this is the first time in the impeachment inquiry that we're going to hear from someone. Of course, the deposition is behind closed doors, but he has released and several news organizations have obtained his opening statement. So we know what he plans to say. But this is somebody who is an Iraq War veteran, Purple Heart awarded to him. And this is somebody with a sort of storied career and who comes from the military side of things. So somebody who really is non-political. Of course, the president, as you mentioned, is already targeting him and referring to him as a never-Trumper. That's certainly not what it sounds like the lieutenant colonel would have to say about himself. This is somebody who's a Ukrainian expert. This is somebody who listened in on the call and raised those concerns. So it's really a notable shift because as we saw sort of the parade of folks from the State Department, from other areas, this is the first current sitting White House official from the National Security Council who is expected to really have quite explosive testimony.
Right. And a criticism that was levied by the president's supporters in the GOP beforehand was that all this talk about that July 25th phone call was hearsay. But here we have someone who says he actually listened in on the call. And just as an aside, Monica, I'm looking at Vindman's opening statement that has been released to the public. And he goes out of his way to say, quote, "I am a patriot and it is my sacred duty and honor to advance and defend our country, our in all caps, irrespective of party or politics." Now, I'm just curious. He also says in his opening statement that he raised concerns twice, once to the NSC's top lawyer and once directly to Ambassador Gordon Sondland. That seems significant as well.
Exactly, and especially because it would appear then that would contradict, as you mentioned, Gordon Sondland's testimony and certainly the narrative coming out of the White House. And it's important to note that Colonel says that he is not the whistleblower or anything like that who initially reported this. But it seems that his concerns and the way in which he raised them on the legal side of things did inform potentially that initial whistleblower's account, because as we know, the whistleblower was not actually on the call, but the whistleblower obtained information from people who were. So it sounds like Colonel Vindman was somebody who certainly was able to raise these. And really his chief concern, according to his opening statement, was national security. And that, he says, is because of his decades of sort of experience and training and a sense of duty, which I think is also a really, really interesting way for him to put this. So the president, it's difficult to know sort of exactly what he can do to counter this. One of the other things he continues to raise on Twitter and in his remarks is that they point to the reconstructed transcript that they put out of the president's call with the leader of Ukraine in July and claim that paints a picture of what they call no quid pro quo, and they continue to just simply point to that document. But again, here we have something that really, really contradicts that. And in terms of raising alarm bells, this is just the most significant thing. So the two things just don't square.
Right. I mean, just specifically out of Vindman's opening statement, he says, following a July 10th visit from the Secretary of the National Security Defense Council for Ukraine, who came to visit Washington. This was when Colonel Vindman says that Ambassador Sondland started talking to the Ukrainians, or began, or didn't start, but at least reiterated to the Ukrainians that they, that the president wanted an investigation into the Bidens. And he says, Vindman says in his opening statement, quote, "I stated to Ambassador Sondland that his statements were inappropriate, that the request to investigate Biden and his son had nothing to do with national security, and that such investigations were not something the NSC was going to get involved in or push." So, very powerful testimony just in the opening statement here. But let's turn for a second, Monica, if we can, to the reaction that's coming from the Hill, for example. What are the president's supporters saying? What are key members of Congress saying?
So this has been a fascinating kind of evolution to watch over on Capitol Hill, because as the impeachment inquiry started, many of the president's fiercest supporters, especially, you know, both in the House and in the Senate, really kind of criticized the entire thing as a partisan, you know, witch hunt, to use a phrase that the president likes to use. But as more and more of these people have come forward and given their testimony behind closed doors, it's become increasingly difficult for some of the Republicans to defend the president. So many of them have even started to say, I don't want to speak about that. Or, you know, for the senators, for example, if this does go to a trial in terms of potential phases of the impeachment inquiry, they are saying, well, if I'm going to be a sitting juror, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to weigh in. So we've seen kind of now the Republicans have to test out sort of different approaches and what they can say, because, of course, reporters are approaching them every day asking them for this. But I think, you know, the other important thing to note is that for weeks now, Republicans have been calling for a formal vote mm-hmm. on the impeachment inquiry, and sort of almost daring Speaker Nancy Pelosi to do that, because they claim that their issue here is largely with process, and that, you know, they've argued that Democrats are doing a lot of these things behind closed doors. So now we have the news that that is actually going to, it looks like, take place this week on Thursday, after a markup tomorrow, Wednesday. So that also will be interesting to see, because it kind of undercuts that argument a little bit. If now this is going to be brought for a vote, it's harder for Republicans to take up issue with sort of the prospect aspect of all this.
Right. So Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, deciding to put that impeachment inquiry and the sort of the rules around it to a full House vote here. But I'm seeing that the president's White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham responding very strongly to that, saying, quote, Speaker Pelosi is finally admitting what the rest of America already knew, that Democrats were conducting an unauthorized impeachment proceeding and refusing to give the president due process here. Senator Lindsey Graham saying, I take pride in the fact that our vigorous response to their, being the Democrats, underhanded tactics ended up making the House Democratic position untenable. So Republicans saying that this vote that they had asked for now just confirms what they still believe is an illegitimate inquiry.
Right. And I think you're going to continue to see them saying that, and they're going to kind of press that and no matter what, because that's what they're, you know, the president is saying. And many of these Republicans have to kind of follow his lead or risk being called out by him. Right. We saw this sort of pressure campaign from outside allies who wanted Senator Lindsey Graham to be more forceful in his rejection of the impeachment inquiry when he wasn't necessarily doing that. So we saw that can kind of be something that comes also from the campaign. The 2020 reelection campaign and the allies from the outside can also sometimes apply this pressure. We saw even the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., doing this on Twitter in the last week or so. So Republicans will have to kind of walk this fine line, whereas they're trying to absolutely mimic what the president is saying and be a staunch defender, while also being careful as to, you know, as far as they can take this. It's harder in the face of a lot of this striking testimony to be able to continue to keep up those defenses.
And just to be clear to folks, what we're talking about is the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying on Thursday the House House will vote on a resolution to formalize the impeachment inquiry.
Exactly.
It's not an impeachment vote itself because things move really fast. So I just wanted to be clear on that. Now, Monica, we've just got a couple minutes left to go here. I wanted to ask something about that you reported specifically, that the White House is continuing to have an internal debate on whether to release notes on Vice President Mike Pence's call with Ukrainian leaders. Tell us about that.
Sure. So this is another kind of fascinating element to all of this. And we've seen Vice President Mike Pence be really one of the president's fiercest defenders and most loyal soldiers in all of this. But of course, he's implicated in this as well because he has had several conversations and meetings with Ukrainian President Zelensky throughout the course of his administration. And even the president himself, President Trump, at a certain point said, hey, you should look at, I believe he even said, quote, like Mike's conversations, you should look at Mike Pence's transcripts. And so when the vice president was asked this by reporters a few weeks ago, whether he would be willing to disclose those details, he said he had no objection to that, but that it was something that White House counsel would have to review and decide about whether they could actually do that. And it turns out now, in this reporting by myself and my colleague Carol Lee, that there's actually quite a split over this decision in the White House. There are those officials who believe that releasing more information becomes a slippery slope, certainly in terms of documents and what kind of precedent it sets in terms of House Democrats wanting to ask for more or anything related to this, where the White House has really said, we're not going to comply and not hand over documents in terms of the subpoena aspect of all of this. So they sort of argue, if we release more of this information from calls, what does that get us? At the same time, those close to the vice president feel that this could be something that could help really kind of help clean or clear the vice president of some of this, the appearance of any wrongdoing. The vice president has said repeatedly that he only discussed corruption and other aspects in his conversations with Zelensky, and that he never discussed the Bidens. He has said that over and over again, but really the only way to know that for sure would be for them to put out these sort of summaries of his contacts. So we'll have to see if that's something that actually takes place or not, but we'll be reporting and tracking all of it.
Well, Monica Alba, NBC News political reporter, speaking to us from Washington. Monica, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
When we come back, we'll talk about California's wildfires and why denying or cutting power to millions of Californians is seen as a way to prevent wildfires. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. This is On Point.